Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 9:08 as we matriculate through this Wednesday morning, the day after Election Day. Tomorrow night, you can join Mike D'Atelier, Steve Geller for Weekend Kickoff, special edition of Sports Talk Live from the Treasure Chest Casino. They're in countdown. Pardon me. That's what you get when you golf tea. Countdown to Thursday Night Football and get focused on Sunday's game against the Falcons. You can hang out with Mike D and Steve G at Treasure Chest Casino in the Game Bar and Grill. That'll be tomorrow evening from 4 till 7. Treasure Chest, located in Kenner's Lake Town area on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain, 4540 Williams Boulevard. They can't wait to see you there, and you can always listen on WWL. There are times in this business where we go through lulls in the summertime, and Jeff Nowak, our next guest, will tell you that in the summertime, where it's like between football season and basketball's over, and we're not really a baseball town, and it's kind of slow in July. Not this week, between the election and the tropical storm and the special session and the Saints parting ways with Dennis Allen, but wait! There's more with a move that happened yesterday that might have fallen between the cracks of the election. And with that, we welcome in Jeff Nowak, our friend, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, there's a lot of things you can say about the Saints.
Yeah.
They're never boring.
No.
You know,
no.
They always find a way,
but you know what?
To keep you talking about.
But you know what? And that's why I think, as you say that, I think that's a good way to kind of get into this, because maybe they were approaching getting boring, and that's the one thing you can't have. And I said this on Monday, even before the firing, that the Saints should want their fans, on Monday morning I'm talking about now, after the game, before anything happened, angry. They should want them bleeding through their eyeballs. They're so angry because they're so passionate about this team, because they bleed black and gold. That the last thing they want is apathy, right? You want your fan base engaged. You want them involved. They need to be involved.
Yeah, you know, this is a conversation I had with Steve Geller last week, and we kind of went through, like, okay, what if you had to rank it on a scale of 1 to 10, what would be the fan frustration level going into that game? And we kind of put it in the 8.59 range. There's always, and the idea was like, hey, if they lose to the Panthers, then it does get to a 10. But there is actually a point after a 10 that is actually worse, which is 0, mm-hmm. because you, like, fans have gotten so frustrated and fed up that they've lost the ability to get to a 10. Like, I'm not going to let this frustrate me anymore because I don't believe it's going to get better. And I think there are teams in the NFL that their fans are not even willing or capable to get to a level of frustration that is a 10. Like the Panthers, for example. Like, you go talk to a Panthers fan and they're like, yeah, we're 2-7, but whatever. This is what happens. Like, this is what we do as an organization. 2-7 is our stock in trade.
You were there, so you go sit outside in the nice weather for a couple hours, right?
Right. I mean, a cheap ticket, what are you going to do on a Sunday? Hey, it's basically like a minor league baseball team. Like, mm-hmm. It's something to do, right?
Right.
And the fans there were like, the atmosphere at that stadium, I would classify as like pleasantly surprised. Like, oh man, look at that. We went to a game and they won. How lucky are we? Like, we picked the right game.
You know, as you say that, As you say that, Jeff, I'm thinking of going to the old Zephyrs games or the birthday cakes, whatever the hell they turned into, baby cakes.
Baby cake.
and where it was like, you know, what's the score? I don't know. Well, you don't know. Who won? I don't know. It was just fun being out here.
I remember talking to he was a GM of a minor league baseball team back when I was in college in New Haven, and it was the New Britain Rock Cats was the team. And what he said was like, hey, we have to sell the experience of the game, because if I went out there in a game and I offered someone a $20 bill and said, turn around, don't look at the scoreboard and tell me what's the score of the game right now. If you tell me the right score, $20 is yours. Like 9 times out of 10. I'm keeping that $20.
I would do that often when I went to the game with people. I put my hand over their face, not over their eyes, but over their face, say, quick, what's the score and who are we playing?
Right.
They couldn't tell me. They could never tell me. But it was fun, and that's the way it is.
The larger point to me is, like, that's not the Saints. Like,
no.
Saints fans are kind of rabidly angry and frustrated when things are going the way they are, and you can sense it. They're aware. They're paying attention. And that's kind of where you got to over the last 9 games. Like, I get it. There's a lot of injuries. I get it. There's a lot of things not going your way. But even just you can take a step back and look at the broader picture and kind of read the room and see that things are not heading in the right direction. And players are frustrated. Fans are frustrated. And so it became inevitable. And that's where we are. And now the trade is different. The trade, I think, kind of emerged from, you know, what is the best thing we can do for our organization at this point? And, you know, Marshawn Lattimore is 28, had injury problems. You know, by the time you kind of build this thing back up into something that you expect to be a playoff contender, right? If you can get back to the 2017-2020 timeframe, that's great. But you got to 2017, that draft, by kind of building up your war chest a little bit over the course of 3 down seasons. And that's when you brought in guys like Lattimore and you got young players. And I don't think this is going to get rebuilt by a player on the edge of his prime, you know, that you're kind of doubling down on. It's going to get rebuilt by the youth that you're bringing in and the culture that you're establishing. So, I mean, that's where I kind of land. I know you didn't ask, but that's kind of where I land on that.
No. I'm always interested in what you have to say. That's why we have you on, Jeff Nowak. When it comes to Marshawn Lattimore, he's going to the Commanders, you know, one thing, and I'll just say it's going to be interesting to me to see if he has a miraculous hamstring recovery.
No, I mean, it is going to be interesting to watch if suddenly, and that's what happened with Devontae Adams, right? He had a hamstring injury with the Raiders. They said, hey, this is a legitimate hamstring injury. Then you get traded to the Jets, and he's not only playing, he's playing that week, you know, and he's ready to go. So we'll see. I don't think that it was a fake injury. I'm not trying to say that. I do think that there is a level of motivation required to kind of push through a nagging injury.
That's all I'm saying.
And when you are in the midst of a 6-game losing streak, that motivation might not be there. And
there's not a doubt in my mind that he had hamstring issues. The doubt in my mind was, because look, let's face it, Alvin Kamara, 41, he's beat up. Taysom Hill's beat up, but they find a way to get it done, right?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I don't begrudge any veteran player being frustrated and being demotivated when you're in a 6-7-game losing streak, right? Like, that's perfectly understandable. And I'm rooting for Marshawn. I hope he does come back.
Me too.
And plays at a high level and helps that team, that Commanders team, that's a whole lot of fun to watch right now and is led by a player that a lot of people in Louisiana should be rooting for in Jaden Daniels. And so I'm looking forward to watching that team. And you know, it's frustrating that it got to this point, but, you know, it's hard to be mad that the Saints moved on, and it's hard to not root for Marshawn in his new situation because he's done a lot of great things for this Saints organization. And hopefully he can find some success over however long his career goes. He's still in his prime, but, you know, when you're 28, 29 years old, you're right on the fringe of that. So hopefully he can find some success in these last 2 years.
Less than 100 days from the Super Bowl, and I try to run scenarios in my mind because, unfortunately, it's not going to be the Saints year in the Super Bowl, right? But I'm trying to think about this. An undefeated Kansas City Chiefs team trying to accomplish what the Patriots couldn't do thanks to the helmet catch by David Tyree against Rodney Harrison, I think it was, right?
That game vividly.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're going to seal that deal. But wait. Guess who they're playing? The Washington Commanders with Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner from LSU, who comes back home. The veteran, the best guy in the NFL against the best up-and-coming player in the NFL. That'd be a storyline, don't you think?
That would be funny. You know, I remember the helmet catch specifically because, you know, that was in the early days of TiVo, where we were all just kind of figuring out, hey, if you pause and to skip the commercials, then you're not on time with everybody else. And I remember vividly because, me and my dad were watching downstairs. My mom was watching upstairs. And, like, we were, like, I don't know, 2 minutes behind. And, you know, we hear her yelling upstairs. And at this point, you're like, well, why is she yelling? Is everything okay? Because it was like, hey, you know, we're now like, oh, she's ahead. Like, the stream is slow. And she's But we didn't even consider that. We were like, is something wrong? And what could possibly have happened in this game? We're all so frustrated right now because we're Giants fans, grew up in Connecticut. We're all so angry. Why is she yelling like something crazy? And then the helmet catch, and we're like, oh, we understand now. I just remember it's like one of those flashbulb like sports moments for me. I will never forget that.
Did you go? Did you say you went to school in New Haven? Are you a Yale graduate?
So, you know, sometimes I say I went to school in New Haven to see what people's opinion of me is, and they're like, "Why don't you go to Yale?" No, I didn't go to Yale.
Oh, wow.
I went to Southern Connecticut State University, which is a state school in New Haven, which is like if you're Central Connecticut. I think LSU played them in the College World Series a few years back. Like that's there's branches, right?
Yeah.
Now Darren Rizzi actually coached at the University of New Haven, which is kind of right down the street. And then Yale, which is Mason Tipton went to Yale. So, you know, the Saints kind of perimeter right now has a lot of Connecticut, New Haven, Connecticut going on.
Back in the day, I was this close to taking a job in New Haven, Connecticut, and I went to Vegas instead. Okay. Do you think I made the right decision?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
Unless you are desperate for pizza, which is like I will go to my grave telling you that New Haven, Connecticut has some of the best pizza in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, you know, it's... If you're not into pizza, it's a tough sell, I think, a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm a degenerate gambler, so Vegas worked out better.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. Let's talk about opportunities now for Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry and Paulson Adebo out for the year with the broken – I think he's out for the year with the broken leg, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A broken femur. It's going to – the question for him isn't whether he comes back this year. It's whether the Saints try to bring him back at all. Because he's in a contract year, and that's why, you know, that injury, while it sucks to see someone go down with a season-ending injury at any point, it's particularly just distressing to see a guy go down in that situation where whatever you think about Paulson Adebo, I know he's had some struggles, he's had some mistakes in big moments. He's a turnover magnet. Like, he makes plays. He was going to get a big contract. Like, he was going to get one of these 3 years, $40, $50 million deals. You look at, like, a Tyson Campbell, guys like that. So that injury cost him a ton of money, just in the grand scheme of things. You always feel for a guy in that situation. Because he's a third-round pick. It's not like he's playing on this massive NFL salary. It's a good salary relative to the rest of the world, but not in the NFL standard. So, you know, if the Saints feel comfortable with his recovery, I actually think that injury makes it more likely that he returns because I don't think they were going to pay him on whatever big deal he got on the open market. That's going to be a question, especially after this trade. Do you bring Paulson back at whatever level he is health-wise and have him kind of compete for that starting role? But yeah, there's a lot of opportunity in this cornerback room right now.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. Come back talking to Jeff Nowak about the Marshawn Lattimore trade yesterday. We'll talk about what the Saints' defensive backfield is going to look like for the rest of the season. We'll talk about draft choices and strategy. And the player deadline's gone, so that can't happen anymore. That happened at 3 o'clock yesterday. But just what the Saints' strategy is from here on in, you don't want to tank to get draft choices or get a higher draft choice. I don't think that's the strategy. But at what point, how do you balance winning games, putting an entertaining product on the field with evaluating who you have, where you are, and seeing what's best for the future to put yourself in the best position? Jeff Nowak, our guest, WWL Saints sideline reporter. I'm Tommy Tucker. This is WWL Back in a Flash.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday Mega Deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The executive committee has met here, and we've spent so much time talking about the election and politics this morning, and it was so refreshing to have a non-politics conversation with Jeff Nowak. We were scheduled to talk to another political scientist, but we've made an executive decision here. We're just going to talk to Jeff for the rest of the hour and lighten up a little bit. How you doing, Jeff?
All right. Sounds good to me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Let's talk about the secondary, how that could look now with no more. Well, not that he was playing anyway, but just who gets moved around and what could the starting secondary look like for the Saints against Atlanta?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll find out this week. It's tough to project because, you know, Dennis Allen was such a big influence on the decision.
And that's
that
another question about the defense looking different with him not being there. So take that, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, Joe Woods is going to take over as, you know, he was a defensive coordinator, so, you know, he's still in that role. But now he's kind of the man in charge of that room. Darren Rizzi's special teams coordinator. So, you know, he's not going to step in for the offense or the defense. He's going to let those guys do their jobs. Those are his words. So we're going to see what Joe Woods likes to do on defense. How much of it was, hey, this is how Dennis Allen is operating. You know, how much of it is, hey, we're going to see what we have in some people. And, you know, 2-7, you're not going to play as if, hey, we're going to lose the rest of our games. But at a certain point, you know, like people talk about tanking, right? Like teams are not going to send guys out there on the field and say, lose this game. It's going to help us down the road. You're going to, but what you do is you see what you have in young players. You play younger players. You put people in positions and see what they have. And the product of that, a lot of the time, is it's tough to win because you're not, you know, relying on veteran players that you know. There's a lot more volatility in what those guys might be doing, and so that will result in a lot of losses. And because you're in the situation you are, where the season's kind of gotten away from you, you're more likely to accept that result than you would be if you were 7-2 and you're like, no, this guy gives us the best chance to win, so we're going to go with him. At a certain point, it's about development. We'll see how long it takes to get to that point. I'm not sure we're there this week, but we may get there in a few games if the losses keep piling up. So all that is to say, do you move Alante Taylor back to the slot? I would say no. I think I like what I saw from Alante Taylor on the outside last week. I feel like his future in the NFL is as an outside corner, and his ability to play the slot is a major bonus in just what he can do as a pro. Like, I think as frustrating as it was for him to not get the opportunity on the outside, I think he's going to look back on that and say, as a professional football player, the ability to go inside and outside is only going to benefit me down the road. But I think now's the time to keep him outside because he's your best option outside and see how that looks. And then you can go forward and say, hey, who's our best option in the slot? Let's get a look at some guys in the slot. Kool-Aid McKenzie is dealing with a hamstring injury right now. I'm hopeful to get him back this week and beyond. And if that's the case, then, you know, do you try him out in the slot or do you keep him outside? Do you see what you have in Rico Payton? Do you continue along the path with Samar John Charles, who I thought played pretty well in a spot start? Does he become a developmental or cornerback option? Is he one of your depth corners? Is Rico Payton one of your depth corners? So we'll have to see. It's about health this week because, you know, Rico Payton was close to playing. I think he would have got the start if he was healthy. He's dealing with a back issue. He was ruled out on game day. I would expect if he's healthy, he's your starting outside corner. Ugo Amadi might continue in the slot, or you might try to see what you have in a younger player. I think this week you're still like, hey, there's a chance as pie in the sky as pipe dream of it is, yeah, we win our final eight games, we're in the playoffs, whatever. Like, and I'm not saying that you should bet on that. But as long as that possibility exists, you'll see this team try to play it out in a way that is, hey, we're going to put our best foot forward. We're going to try to win these games in whatever way is possible. But, you know, at some point that goes away. So for now, I think you are going to stick with Ugo Amadi in the slot. Rico Pitton would be your starter if Kool-Aid can't go. If Kool-Aid can go, he'll be your starter on the outside. And Shamar John-Charles is the next guy on that list if neither of those guys will be able to go.
I think the first thing priority-wise is, you know, you made the change on Monday. You just got to get ready to play this week. Then you look longer term beyond that, right?
Yeah, agreed. You got to end the losing streak. Like, even, you know, there's a point in the season where it's like, we just need something good to happen to build morale in the locker room. And you might look at it and say, well, losing the most amount of games would give you the best draft pick and give you the best chance for success. You added a couple extra picks this week, so you should feel like, hey, we have a war chest that we can really start to build something with. But at the end of the day, you know, just in terms of positivity, in terms of like, let's show some hope for what this thing could turn into outside of this losing streak. I think winning a game just has to be like at the top. Like, you can't think about anything but let's win a game, let's end this losing streak, and let's go from there. Like, you can't be thinking about what's going to happen in week 15, what's going to happen in week 17. The Falcons are coming in. Sure would be nice to hang a loss on the Falcons. Even at the worst situation, which I would consider 2-7 to be just about the worst situation you could be at with your head coach fired, a win over the Falcons in that moment, in that environment, with Alvin Kamara becoming your franchise rushing leader, I mean, I'm just assuming he's going to have 11 rushing yards in this game. It would be nice for that to be kind of a celebration and not just a demoralizing defeat at the hands of your arch rival.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Either way, I kind of look at this. I mean, if you're Darren Rizzi, you have to look at it this way because nothing beyond this is guaranteed. I kind of look at it as an 8-game season. And, you know, how do we handle this 8-game season independent of everything else going on in the NFL? Because if you're Darren Rizzi, you don't even know if you're going to have a job here next year. You don't know if they're going to hire a new coach and he's like, nah, this is my special teams coordinator. I like him. I want to work with him. I'm going to bring him in. So, like, even it's impossible for him to be like, I'll just be back here next year. I'll do whatever. So I really want to know what I have in the quarterback in this and that. He doesn't know. So you're going to get a fully committed Darren Rizzi to showing what he can do in this interim role. Because, like, look at Dan Campbell. Right, Dan Campbell was never an offensive coordinator. He was never a play caller in the NFL. The reason he got seriously considered for a head coaching job that he ended up getting and has done a great job with is because he had that interim season with the Dolphins after Joe Philbin left that job. And so, you know, that's important. That's valuable. You know, this is a huge opportunity for him. There's no question.
All right, let me take a break. I'll ask the audience at 504-260-1870 as a Saints fan. If the team even loses, but they play hard and then, you know, they tell you, you know, look, we're trying to do everything we can to put ourselves in the best position moving forward in the future, even if it means evaluating a player here, I'm just going to pull this out of the hat, even if it means, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, benching Derek Carr to see what the Ratla can do or maybe Jake Haener. I don't know if that's even in the equation or not, but as a Saints fan, I would be okay with that as long as they did play hard, they looked organized, and that I knew there was a plan down the road, that the reason we're doing this right now and maybe putting this player in this position or that one in that position is to put us in the best possible place that we can be in the future to turn this thing around. Not just this season, but long-term and become contenders again. What do y'all think? 504-260-1870, 934, 26 till 10, talking Saints after spending 3 hours on the election this morning with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Time now for traffic on WWL. 941, 19 till 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We spent 3 hours talking about the election. And then we decided to talk to Jeff. I mean, Jeff was booked, but we decided to spend the hour talking about the Saints with him because there will be more election talk with Newell and Scoot. I guarantee you that. Jeff, you know, ask the fans about and ask them to text in at 504-260-1870 if they'd be happy if the Saints were competitive, and even if they lost, if they just knew that they were doing what they could. Somebody texted and said, transparency is what us fans are expecting from the Saints organization. If we're rebuilding, say that, and therefore everybody's texting in, whatever it takes to put the organization in the best possible position moving forward. That being said, somebody's gotta dictate the goal, right? Because Darren Rizzi, he doesn't want to look bad as a head coach. The defensive coordinator doesn't want to look bad. Who's going to be pulling the strings on all of this?
Well, first things first, the line about transparency. Like, what are we? This isn't the city council. This is an NFL franchise. Like, transparency is not the name of the game. There's always going to be stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Sure.
There's going to be a public-facing message and an internal message, and you're not going to be privy to all that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just reality. So the idea that, what they're not doing is telling us everything that they're talking about inside the building is the issue. Like, that's going to be the way it is until the end of time. So I think that's kind of a silly way to look at it. Again, like, this is not, we're not talking about Joe Giarrusso and how he's handling District A. Like, we're talking about an NFL team trying to gain advantages.
Right, exactly.
All that said, you know, what I think most fans want to see, and what I want to see, and what the interim coach Darren Rizzi has made very clear is going to happen, is the idea that, hey, this hasn't been working. We don't need to keep doing things the same way we've always done them. We need to find things that work and be willing to make changes. And the way he phrased it was like, change doesn't mean bad. Change doesn't mean better. Change means change. Change means you are doing things differently, and you need to embrace that. And, you know, one good example, and Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, he reported this morning, one of the things that's going to change is the players are going to show up at the locker room on Wednesday, and it's going to look different. Like, they're going to – people's lockers are going to be in different places. And the reason for that is he wants position groups to be together, to be in the same place, right? And since COVID, and this is something Nick Underhill reported, and I knew they changed this. I didn't realize that this was why. During COVID, one of the reasons you kind of spread everyone out in the locker room was so that if there was a COVID outbreak, it wouldn't take out entire position groups. And that makes a lot of sense when you think about it, right? And we saw the Saints have to go into a game without basically all their running backs. We saw the Saints that year have to go into a game where the Broncos didn't have a quarterback. They played a wide receiver at quarterback. So it makes sense, and that's kind of how it's been since COVID. And so you kind of just stuck with it because, hey, why change it if people like where their lockers are? Why are we going to move them around? Mm-hmm. But it sounds like that's going to be different, and we're going to have to kind of remap in our brains where people's lockers are. So that's going to be kind of interesting because you just get used to, especially the veteran players, like, oh, Cam's over there, DeMario's over there, Marshawn's there, Tyrann Mathieu's there. So apparently that's going to be different. So I'm interested to see what that looks like today. But it's just a good example of, like, you don't want to just make changes for the sake of change. You want to have a good reason for why you're changing something, but not feeling like it's getting the job done that it's supposed to, the reason you're doing something, that's a good enough reason to try to find a better way.
Since,
and I think
go ahead.
That's going to resonate with fans because that's what I think people are frustrated with. You're just banging your head against the wall, and we're going to say, hey, it's going to work out eventually, but the returns aren't there, so why are we still doing things the same way? So I think that's to me, that's what I want to see, and I think that's what a majority of Saints fans will feel better about. Maybe not happy amid whatever the season ends up, but at least feel better about the direction of the team, knowing they're looking for solutions and not just doing the same thing over and over again.
The Saints sideline is configured differently because they have chairs around the injury tent like a waiting room at the doctor's office, it seems like. They've been hit hard by injuries. How does that affect who sits, who plays? Because you got to have people to play, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that changes at all in terms of, you know, if guys are healthy, they're going to be playing. If guys aren't healthy, they're not going to be playing, and you're going to try to find somebody else. I like, obviously you want guys to get healthy, and there's going to be the hope that Khalid McKinstry gets out on the field, right? That all these injured players get back out on the field. I think the coaching change, all it does from that perspective is, if you don't feel like a veteran player is getting the job done, I think it's a lot more likely that you look to somebody else and say, hey, what do you have? But I don't think that's health related. It's performance related because, you know, over the next few years, you know, if they stick with Darren Rizzi, you know, I think it's reasonably possible that he does a really good job and this thing starts to look better. And maybe you stick with Darren and you double down on some of these players. But if you don't, you have to evaluate your entire roster and you have to know exactly what you have in all of these players. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't think that's going to affect how you approach injuries. That said, if you have a guy who's like, hey, you're playing at 70%, you're going to fight through this because we have a chance to make the postseason. Do you ask someone to do that in a lost season? If you lose a couple more games and you get eliminated from the postseason, I don't think you do. I think you might play it a little safer with some of these fringe injuries. That's like at the pain tolerance thing. Well, you know, well, what's your pain tolerance? Pain tolerance is probably a little lower when you're not talking about, hey, this win can get us into the playoffs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, or even contract incentives. Let's talk about the structure of the NFL and the Saints scouting department drafting, if we're likely to see any changes, because it seems to me the key to NFL success now is you got to make good, obviously you got to make good drafts, but you got to get these guys and maximize what you can out of those rookie contracts, right, in terms of managing the cap?
Yeah, I think at least for sustained success, like you can have a one-year run with a bunch of free agents and you can make these crazy trades. And you look at the Commanders, if you feel like your window is open, then sure, you can go and find a Marshawn Lattimore. You can trade for whatever. You can sign whatever. And that's a valuable resource for like, the Rams are a good example when they won. They traded for Matthew Stafford. They signed a bunch of high-priced free agents. They traded first-round picks, and they won a Super Bowl. It made the last few years for them more challenging, but no one in L.A. or no one within that organization is going to say, oh, we regret doing that because you won. So when you're in that window, you can justify doing it. And the Saints were in that window for a long time. When you're a team, especially a small market team that's not going to be at the top of the free agency list for a lot of players, you have to go through the draft and you have to be able to develop young players. And, you know, that's what the Saints haven't been able to do enough of over the last few years. And I think a big part of the issue is you haven't made enough draft picks at all. The hit rate for draft picks is not going to be 100%. You have to bake in some misses. Well, the fewer picks you make, you're still going to have misses, but those misses become even more damaging to your bottom baseline talent level because you just don't, you know, you're not taking enough throws at the board. You know, you're not getting enough bites of the apple. You look at the 2006 draft, the 2017 draft. One thing those two drafts have in common is you made a lot of picks, right? You made 7, 8, 9 picks or whatever it was. I haven't actually counted, but, you know, you made multiple third round picks. You made multiple first round picks or whatever. And that means your chances of hitting on the draft, which I think their hit rate has been reasonable, is a lot higher. And that's how you rebuild the core of a roster the way they were able to in both of those years. And this might be the best draft pick you have this year since 2006, since you picked, what, number 2 overall and brought in Reggie Bush and all those other guys. So, you know, I think that's where this trade makes a lot of sense to me, this Marshawn Lattimore trade, because you are maximizing your ability to do that. And I'm still okay with a team getting a little aggressive and moving up like they did for Kool-Aid McKinstry to make sure they got the guy they want. I'm for that. You know, maybe not the Marcus Davenport trade where you gave up so much. Mm-hmm. But I'm always in for a team. Like, look at what the Chiefs did when they went up and got Pat Mahomes. Like, they don't regret whatever they gave up in that trade. Mm-hmm. So going and if the Saints had to do it over again, maybe they would have gone up. Maybe they would have traded up to try to get Pat Mahomes. But so I'm okay with that. I just don't like the idea of trading a ton of future assets for a mystery in right now, where it's like if you don't feel like that's a sure thing for you, you don't make that trade. But if you do feel like that's a sure thing, then yeah, get a little aggressive, move up. Day three picks or the hit rate is so low that I'm the type that would trade pretty much all my day three picks for an extra day two pick in most drafts.
Knowing then what we know now, I certainly hope they would have moved up to take Patrick Mahomes. Let me read this to you from Albert Breer, I think is his name, Sports Illustrated, about the firing of Dennis Allen. He says, one nugget I picked up from the past couple of days, that decision was very much driven by ownership, with Gail Benson reaching a breaking point with the team's struggles over the past few weeks. GM Mickey Loomis, I'm told, according to this report, didn't want to pull a plug on Allen yet, but Ms. Benson and her group was hearing from the fan base in ways they hadn't before. I don't know if that's accurate or not, does that portend anything for the coming season as far as upper management with the Saints and GMs and Mickey Ireland and scouting staffs, et cetera?
Jeff Ireland, but yeah, it's Mickey Ireland.
No, Mickey Loomis, Jeff Ireland.
It's like their celebrity couple name. But no, it's definitely, you know, for a long time, the front office and the ownership, were moving very much in lockstep. I can't recall many instances where it was very clear that they were just agreeing on something. But you just look at the statement they sent out. And I thought this was really interesting because, you know, you have Gail's quote and then you have Mickey's quote. And obviously this goes through PR people. I don't know exactly how much, you know, so I don't think she was sitting at a keyboard typing it out, but she definitely approved it to get sent out. And, you know, these two quotes are next to each other. And one is saying, you know, this decision, this is a quote, this decision is something that I felt we needed to make at this time. Right? That's her quote. That's right. Gail's quote. It's an I quote. It is. This was my decision. She's owning this decision. And then Mickey's quote is kind of looking at injuries. And that's a lot of what he said when he came on WWL last night. It's like, I think people are underestimating just how much these injuries impacted this season and how we arrived at these results. And that's not a direct quote, but that's just the paraphrase of what he's saying. It doesn't say, I thought this was the time to make this decision, right? You don't have that I statement in that messaging. So I think that the official press conference alone tells you that that is true, that the ownership definitely had a part in this, and they were hearing from fans. And I hear from a lot of fans saying they want Gail to get more involved.
I think that's encouraging. You read my mind. I was going to say that exact thing. I think that should be an encouraging thing to the fan base, that the fan base has her ear, that she wants to win. It's not just about running a business, et cetera. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would say she's not involved enough. I don't think, you know, she kind of lets people do what they do. And, you know, this is a sign that she is listening, right? She's paying attention. She's aware. That said, I don't think that ownership kind of stepping on the front office in most cases should be viewed as a positive thing. You look at David Tepper, you look at Jerry Jones. I don't think that those are healthy ownership kind of personnel scenarios.
This is a transitional situation, though.
Yeah, I think there are points that it does be rise to a level that the ownership should and does have to get involved. But I don't think you want to see this become a standard thing where the front office and the ownership are clashing and someone has to put their foot down. Like, that's a bad thing, generally speaking. That said, I can't disagree with this one.
And you certainly don't want Gail Benson in a huddle like Pat Bowlen used to be with the Broncos. It's probably before your time. But thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate your time.
Have a good day. All right.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.